You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 380, Dog & Pony Show Season 6, Episode 3, recorded October 2021, posted January 2023. We're gonna be good Strahds.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar. He, him, his, Dungeon Master here at Total Party Kill Incorporated. You'd think I would plan these things out before I start talking.
No, we wouldn't.
But I just go. The key is I keep talking until Erica does that head nod thing where I know I've said something foolish, and then I am stuck like a deer in headlights. Today, we are back in Barovia, specifically Ravenloft. The worst place you can go in Barovia, a place full of worse places. It is the Dog and Pony Show. It is Tuesday night. Allow me to introduce the players. They will remind you of their characters, and we will get on with these shenanigans. We've already heard from her. Let's hear her again. It's Erica Ensign. Hi, Erica.
Here I am. Hello. Yes, I am playing Brildish, a dwarven paladin. Her pronouns and mine are she, her, and Brildish has a very important celestial pony named Pony Sindelarant. His pronouns are he, him.
It's true. Also joining us, the very lovely Micah Sargent. Hi, Micah.
Hello, Tony. I am Micah Sargent. You've already said that. I play Elevor.
The name's so nice, we hear it twice.
I play Elevor Landman, the half-elf druid, as well as my trusty friend, Samus, the saber-toothed tiger. And now we are joined by Danu, the octopus, who is my fey familiar. Both Danu and Samus have she, her pronouns. Elevor and I have he, him pronouns.
Also joining us, Aline Sims. Hi, Aline.
Hello. I play Imra Soliana, the wood elf ranger, and her trusty pup, Androdite, and all of our pronouns are she, her.
Next up, he's running the stream and living the dream. It's Dan Moore.
Ooh.
When did you come up with that one? That was pretty good.
I like it.
Literally, after I said the word stream, I was like, I should probably rhyme something. Mainly, I hope this doesn't depress Dan.
I'm okay with it.
All right, good.
I am Dan Moore, and I am playing cast in Onatar's Crucible, the Warforged Cleric of Onatar, who uses the pronouns they, them, and I use the pronouns he, him.
And last, but certainly not least, my friend and yours, Jane Ritt.
Hello. I play Lena Dulina, the human rogue. Both of our pronouns are she, hers.
This is the part where I look furtively around the Zoom room to make sure I didn't miss anyone, because my brain is bad at things.
So I think we're okay. One of these days, I'm going to have like a puppet. I'm like, you missed me, Tony.
please don't use alternative personalities to grieve me. It's like,
no, that's what we use all of our NPCs for.
Yeah, yes. Thanks for
getting an alternative personality.
Yeah. We need new forms of torment. That'll keep me on my toes. You have journeyed to Castle Ravenloft. You have met briefly with Strahd von Zarovich. You have brunched. You have been told that if you stay in Castle Ravenloft more than 10 minutes, your lives are forfeit. You then stayed in Castle Ravenloft more than 10 minutes and went to the basement, the spookiest part of Castle Ravenloft and the soggiest part.
I was going to say, very.
The area of Castle Ravenloft you have found is submerged in a good foot of water, and you have found this kind of strange set of dungeons. There seems to be some traps where if you step in the wrong place, you get teleported into a cell full of water.
Oops.
Murky, gross water. You've looted a variety of money and some gear from people.
So much money.
One dungeon, and you've headed across the hall into another dungeon where you have crossed paths with a living prisoner, which creates a real prisoner's dilemma.
Thank you,
let me just remind you, because you did at the end of last time briefly meet this character. that popping up? Shadow yep. players?
Yep.
I forgot how handsome he is.
He's so
handsome. I don't know how you very good looking possible werewolf.
The last name.
Yeah, you haven't shown Renescu. Us a lot of handsome NPCs in this adventure. So
it does not have a lot of them.
We were all unsettled by how good looking Strahd was, if I recall correctly.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. So I think I would pronounce his name Emil. Yep. I don't know how to pronounce that last name.
I would say Torinescu. Torinescu.
Torinescu. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll try that. And you briefly chatted with Emil last time. I think you are still kind of mid-conversation with him.
Yep.
Somebody, I'm thinking, Micah, that it was you, mm-hmm. rolled a high medicine check, and I decided that with a really high medicine check, which is what you rolled, you can tell if somebody's a werewolf or not.
Yes.
And so I told you that he seemed to be exhibiting some of the signs of werewolfism. So that is my very long clarification.
Werewolfism. I think Elevor will sort of actually, before Elevor says anything out loud, he just looks around at everybody and then takes his hand and his arm and puts it next to like the top of his waist, sort of near his tuchus, and wags it around like it's a tail, and he's trying to sort of code that this person's
a werewolf.
I'm in
the hallway.
Aren't we in waist deep water?
You are. I think actually it's more like neck deep water here.
Yeah, and Emil is not even going to roll insight because they would not understand that even if they got a good roll.
I will remind you that Emil is basically clinging to the bars of a cell. This is like this area here, this flooded dungeon. I think there's, you know, a significant... Anyone who's in this room is treading water.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that high up.
He's clinging to the bars to keep from drowning.
Have you considered doing, like, a nose thing, like waggling your nose?
And
like
he is, and he is freezing cold, and he has asked you to free him, because I was being chased by some wolves in the night, and then I woke up here, and I just don't want to die here. This place is awful.
I want to remind everybody, because this was only like, I don't know, a week or two ago in game, that it was established that either Crucible or Brildish could cure werewolfism. And the last person that we met didn't want to be cured, just so like everybody remembers that that is a possibility.
Mm-hmm. I think we established last time in our session it's a remove curse, which I do not have prepared, but maybe you have.
No. We can do it right
Castle
now.
Ravenloft
we can do it tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So maybe we leave this guy here for the night.
At the very least,
we'll circle back.
Everybody now knows
that
he is a werewolf in sheep's clothing.
I don't know that I know that because I'm in the hallway and have no line of sight.
Water carries voices very Emma. Well. Elevor shouts. Yeah, sorry. I retconned the whole tail thing. Yeah, Elevor does say, I just did a little bit of sniffing, and it appears this man is a werewolf. So just as long as everyone's aware of that, I don't aware of that.
How does Emil react to this?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, not going to argue with that. Cat's out of the bag, as it were.
Dog.
Look, obviously, there's a lot of you, and you have me at a disadvantage. I obviously intend you no harm. I'm just looking to get out of a cell here.
Moon thing? Sort of, what's your whole werewolf deal? Do you just
werewolves?
Hypothermia.
Also, why were you being chased by wolves?
Or how do you work?
Why are you really here? Obviously, it's not because you were chased by wolves if they're your buds. I holler I am, from the hallway.
Yes, I am a child of Mother Night. My pack. We operate out in the western hills of Barovia. Well, there was a bit of some workplace drama, and well, I ended up here.
That seems to be glossing over quite a bit.
Well, I don't know how, it's like, I don't know how in the weeds you want to get. Let me tell you, I've been lonely here, but, it's like when somebody, wants to talk to you about the dream that they had last night, and it's like, oh, buddy, give me a break. Like, do you want to hear about somebody else's office drama from a month ago?
How long have you been in this cell?
It's been a couple weeks.
And at what stage does your transformation occur?
That's the question.
I have some control over it.
What does that mean?
I'm going to roll insight on that.
All right.
Boy, I have had a slew of bad rolls. That is a 9 perception or insight.
I think that is a critical fail. You can't roll
cannot
a critical
fail.
Fail.
You can't. Skill roll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, I got to remember to give myself guidance with my cantrips. I continually forget that.
I don't know. Make some jokes while I look up how werewolves work.
I mean, the Micah's joke was better than anything I'm going to come up with. So I'm not going
to
even try. That would be foolhardy.
I kept trying to work "awoo" into a sentence, but I didn't have it.
I actually had the song "Werewolves of London" stuck in my head earlier today, and it had nothing to do with this. Very, very.
I'm just trying to remind myself how werewolves work in D&D. So that
as opposed to in real life, because right. That's different.
Right. So I believe this is a place where I'm gonna get mail.
You know what? You get to decide how they work in this world, and everybody can keep their mail and stuff it.
Yeah. So I think how werewolves work in Barovia, it is certainly a remove curse can spell can cure lycanthropy. Why am I narrating this to you? I guess. When the moon is at its fullest, I'm not as in control. But when it is when it wanes, people of my pack can control their transformations.
What is Tony? What's the current moon phase?
Roll a d30, Dan.
Sure.
Who?
I'll do that.
Did he say a d30?
He did.
Why? I have a D30. I can get it.
It is a waxing gibbous.
Are there 30 phases of the moon?
You were going to say that anyway.
It do. It's yeah. It's getting closer to full.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's on the far side. It's what, 3/4 or so?
Yeah. Are you going to hang out with this guy for like 8 more days?
Yeah.
I don't know. We could have been here for a while.
I'm having
Lena
a crisis.
Lena hears this conversation happening, and she like slams her fist against one of the bars to like kind of get his attention, and says, "Have you spilled the blood of innocence?"
Look, I'm gonna be real honest with you because I don't have a lot of options here. Me, my pack, my friends, my family, we've done a lot of bad things. Or I was until recently, we are servants of Strahd. And, you know, he gives us a lot of latitude. He likes the chaos we stir up in the hills. Keep those people who think maybe they're safe living far from this castle, that they are somehow safer. He likes the kind of chaos and mayhem we churn up. So, yeah, I've spilled some blood.
Then tell us something useful to help us make it right.
Well, I'm telling you now, you know, maybe you like this. Maybe you do want to hear about my pack drama. You let me free, I go back there, I mix things up. The guy running my pack, he's loyal to Strahd. That's why I'm in here. I'm gonna change things.
Are
you got different
not,
ideas
not
about
loyal
how to run
to Strahd,
things.
Then? Is that your
not anymore?
Why did he throw you in this cell in the first place?
Well, me and my competitor, named Carol. Carol and I had different ideas about how to run the pack. And well, Carol's in with Strahd, and he had me taken care of. So, I mean, you know, we time to time we find some kids. Maybe we have to go into town to get them. And you know, my thinking is, you find a young kid you want in the pack, you give him the gift, and you raise him up right. Carol, he has a little bit more of a purity mission. We get some kids, we bring them back to the caves we live in. He gives those kids weapons, has them fight, and then we only turn the winner of the fight. Well,
these are real. The degrees of badness
everybody.
Here are really close. Like, it's not.
I'm going to say what I say
like, that's
every
worse,
single
but
time.
It's not that much worse.
Every single time I watch an episode of Midsummer Murders, I'm going to say the same thing I say then. Everybody is horrible. Everybody.
Am I the only one, though, who has stuck in their head taken care of business?
Not anymore.
Now it's you too.
That guy gets a lot of kids killed. Not me. I want a big pack.
Only
full
one
of, full
kid
of little werewolf pups. No, we give him the gift.
And is that not a curse? Literally?
I mean, what is existence but a curse upon all?
Never mind. I'm sorry I asked.
Do you know what kind of power a werewolf has? We run through the woods. We smell an air so clean. No offense. You literally wouldn't know. But, I mean, we live in the woods. We are one with nature. We are of the animal. There is a purity there. You look like you might be a druid. You know what I'm talking about.
I propose a deal. You go back. You overthrow your rival. You prevent Strahd from receiving any reinforcements of your kind for the next couple of weeks. And when we overthrow him, you come to us with an audience and we figure out a new way to do things.
Absolutely.
Are we becoming the new Strahds? Is that our move now?
We're going to be good Strahds.
I think someone is auditioning for the role of being a good wielder of that weapon we found.
You ever had to try to go into a throne room and take a big throne and cut it into six smaller thrones? Maybe. Especially if you need a throne for pony.
I don't need a throne. I sit on a pony. It's fine.
Let me ask an alignment question.
The pony wants a throne.
Let me ask an alignment question. What is so removing lycanthropy forcibly from someone? Dick move?
I think he could just go and get it back if we let him go. So it would be a waste of a spell slot.
It's really easy to get, huh?
I feel like removing lycanthropy. I mean, it's certainly, Dan, I'm thinking of it from a medically, like it's unethical to,
that's why I asked, but I just wanted to clarify.
It's like being caught between a werewolf and a werewolf who loves Strahd Place. There's
That's the old saying.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly,
just a werewolf who's loyal to him, really.
You know, if we let him go and he goes back and loses, we've lost nothing. If he goes back and he wins, at least we have done a solid for the person who is then nominally in charge of the werewolves, and we can, you know, determine whether we want to kill him later rather than leave him to die here. I mean, I feel like there's not really a huge downside to letting him go because I don't think he's going to attack us.
That would be pretty dumb given how many of us there are.
Yes,
exactly.
Also, as I lift, I remembered my Yuklawa is silvered, as I think several of our weapons are. So super bad news for that guy.
Yeah, my javelins and my battle axe.
I'm okay
with it. So Emil is floating there in the cell looking at all of you.
Can I roll insight to see how he feels about that proposal as opposed to just running upstairs and tattling?
Mm-hmm.
That's a 27.
Nice.
I think you have offered him an excellent proposal, and he is eager to take it because he fears for his life. And running upstairs would mainly reveal that he has escaped from a dungeon and should die.
So Lena,
you guys got it.
Lena kind of turns to people.
What are your names?
We run through our list of names.
Yeah,
I don't say my name.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. This is Plody Sindelar. This is Aragol. This is
Vanderdyke.
You guys should really get name badges just to make it easier.
It's the worst question you get is, what are our names? There's like 10 of us, Jesus.
Yeah, somebody should commission a song where they all get rattled off. All right, I mean, so are you letting Emil go?
I think we are.
I think so.
All right. Emil kind of paddles over to the dungeon and kind of peeks up through the steps.
Before you go, did you get a chance perhaps before you were thrown in the cell to see any more of the castle, or are you more familiar with any other parts of the castle, or is this the only place you've been?
This is the only place I've been. I mean, some people come by occasionally to feed me, but I can't say I know much. I think the kitchens are one level up from here.
Okay. We are looking for... When are we looking for?
Several different places.
Yeah,
I think...
Looking for dragons. Is there anything that we don't know? We know where some stuff is, roughly, but we don't know exactly.
Yes, the kitchens are up one level. The chapel was right across from the entranceway, we thought.
Do we have a list of the things you're looking for?
Somewhere.
We should have that real handy.
We have it, but it's just been a while since we've looked at it.
Yeah. Okay. I will tell you, I forget, is there a specific thing that you were looking for on the basement level, or that just was like you wanted to like start from the bottom and work up?
It was starting from the bottom and working up, and also getting the heck out of Dodge from the main level.
This was also a place to put the most distance between you and where you were last accounted for.
Yeah, because I think the only place that we directly know how to get to, we know that to go there directly would either open us up to attack or being spied on. So maybe at some point we can find another way into that room.
And it seemed like just from your initial exploration of Castle Ravenloft, a lot of stairs, a lot of passageways. So even if, for example, a place you know you want to get to is the chapel on the first floor, rather than going through the main halls of the first floor, there may be a variety of other stairs that get you there.
Yeah. So presumably the kitchen staff don't walk through like the main entryway to bring food down to the dungeons. So there's probably another way to get up to the first floor through the dungeons. And also, I'm thinking one of the things that we're looking for is the fine wine, of which not a drop remains.
Right.
Yes. And that might be adjacent to the kitchen.
Yes. I will remind you just when you came down, you did basically go down two levels.
Yes.
So there was a door one level up, or a hallway one level up from this, but you went all the way down.
Maybe we do. Well, we can figure that out after.
Yeah.
Poor Emilius.
Yeah. Right. So you know you want to go to a chapel. You want to find a dragon skull. You want to find a winery. You've got, or not a winery, a wine storage. You've been to the winery. You want to find out where the fruits of that winery go.
Yep.
Emil kind of sheepily, and he's, you know, his clothes are all shredded and soaked from being submerged in an awful subterranean underwater cell, kind of paddles over to the hallway. You notice he kind of sniffs at the air, sniffs around, and he walks kind of zigzag, avoiding the traps on the floor, and heads toward the stairs. He turns to look at all of you and kind of waves, perhaps a little sheepishly, and then heads up the stairs. You hear his wet feet on the cold
stones. I wave goodbye. Bye!
Brildish. Good luck.
We don't have to wave to murderers, Brildish.
And we may never see him again.
Yeah, we will see in the a art couple of weeks.
Do you want to see the art of Kirill, who you'll almost certainly never see?
Sure. Is he as good-looking as Emil?
Is someone a murderer?
He's more of a hockey player.
He is good-looking, though.
Yeah. His fashion sense is questionable to me.
It's good hair.
He's got that, like, Dishonored vibe.
He is not he's my a little, style.
I feel like I picture him tossing his hair.
I think he's obviously a very muscular man. He's somebody who, does not have a person in his life who would be like, you should really throw that shirt out. He does not have that. He's got some facial things going on. I don't know.
I could fix him.
You can fix him. He's a fresh,
dress him up nice.
He's one remove curse, some charm school.
Haircut.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks, first I'm just orange. Saying, I suspect that whereas Emil looks like possibly he was a model before he was a werewolf, Carol looks like he was a lumberjack before he was a
He definitely has the lumberjack vibe for sure.
Yeah.
He was from Kresk, 100%.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Some of us are from Kresk.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a lumberjack, and that's okay.
Yeah. All right. Here. So you have dealt with Emil. I will tell you, just a quick look around the prison dungeon that Emil was located in. There are other cells that have things in them. It looks like there were a variety of people that were probably left to die here. And guess what? They left things behind.
Woohoo!
Is Danu going to play courier again?
I rolled perception and got a 26, just in case.
All right. You scan the area. do what else is in here. So there is a cell, another cell that's just full of, like, the floor underneath the murky water crucible is coated in money. It's more electrum pieces with Strahd's image on them.
Spooky money.
So up to you whether you want that, slash will you be able to ever spend that without feeling
I'll bring my
about
shield
it.
Back in and shovel it out like I did before. It doesn't take that long with a shield.
Broldish, you're going to love this. There is a cell that sadly... sorry. You're going to love part of this. I shouldn't say you're going to love this and then open with the gloomy part.
Okay.
There is a cell that has the skeletal remains of a dwarf fighter enclosed in rusted plate armor. The dwarf's battle axe lies at his feet in the water.
Is this a magic axe, Tony?
This is another magic axe. Oh my god.
Why does this campaign have like a million magic axes per capita?
I can't reach it because I would have to go all the way under the water.
Maybe they didn't think you'd find all of them.
Tony, I'm going to do something that I just don't get to do enough, which is I'm going to try from here before I pick it up. I know this is not exactly how this works, but since I'm going to ask for this. Since you usually let us identify magic objects by basically handling them, and I have a spell identified that is then useless because it's supposed to do exactly what you let it do, use it to identify the object from here?
Yeah, you can.
Ooh. All right. I'm going to spend a spell slot, a first level spell slot to do that. Tell me about this axe.
It is a non-magical battle axe.
I hate you so much.
Broldish already has one of those.
Yep.
Yep.
Can I mean, and this have
do you have one
that
is?
Back?
Do you have one? You can have your spell slot back. Okay. I feel like you could have. I feel like Crucible could have sensed that this was not.
Can you tell me what the original purpose of that axe was?
It was for axing things. It was a battle axe. It was for battle. It was not a wood chopping axe. This was a people chopper. I will tell you there are...
The axe is named the People Chopper.
The People Chopper.
Yeah.
It's actually engraved in the side if you could.
Yeah. You know what? It was actually just the Price Chopper, but someone like tried to make it sound more menacing. there's several cells that have other remnants of adventures. There is one cell where there is the remains of a wizard shackled to the wall underwater. So there's just kind of a skeletal with bits of flesh hanging to it and blue robes and kind of a conical hat that's all moldering and gross.
Do we have Speak with Dead? Because I feel like
not prepared.
There aren't a lot of wizards in Barovia, are there?
No, these would be, I think it would be safe to say, or dwarves, I think it would be safe to say these are adventurers who got scooped up by the mists and marched up to Ravenloft to challenge Strahd and didn't do as well as you all are doing.
Yeah, maybe not talk to them. I don't think it'll be good for our morale.
Yeah, this one, you can tell there's a decent amount of flesh still on the bones, and this person clearly had kind of their neck torn out.
Oh no, like there was basically, like there was another guy who got brought in with a mist with all of you, and he was in a bush so we didn't see him.
Yeah. No, it's Carrick here. Wait, he wasn't a wizard.
Oh no.
Oh no.
He's a monk, it's fine, it's fine.
Okay, right. We should check just to be sure though.
the last cell has has what is clearly a bard who is was chained up
a
to the
halfling
wall upside
bard?
Down.
Is it a halfling bard?
It's hard to tell that they're all kind of distorted, but yes, it's a halfling bard. They're hanging from their feet by their feet from the manacles.
Is there a pony skeleton?
There is not a pony skeleton, okay. But there is a musical instrument smashed on the ground in the murky water at their feet.
I don't even remember what kind of instrument Spurious Whisperface had.
I'd hate to be that guy.
Yep. I think you have several people said that they grabbed a shovel full of coins.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who did so gets 100 electrum pieces. Many people don't want anything to do with spooky money.
Yeah.
It does not seem like there is anything of value on these remains. So they're mainly just creepy. Cool. Would you like to continue exploring Castle Ravenloft? I think your main options right now either head down the hallway to the west or back up the stairway to the east to a different level.
I should be able to see farther down the hallway because I have dark vision, which is 60
all right.
feet.
Me too.
Put your token somewhere and I'll reveal 60 feet.
Oh, right. I forgot I took a step.
And here. I think you have, just because I don't want to deal with it anymore, there are several trapped panels along this hallway that would teleport you into a cell. Mm-hmm. We will say that you avoid all of them.
Okay.
But maybe I'll draw them in case that's going to be important later.
Hmm.
Uh-oh. Don't stand on that space.
Yeah. So those are the trap spaces. So there, and who stepped on that last time? Broldish.
It was Broldish, Pony and I.
Pony and Broldish had the experience of basically, if you, I don't know if any of you are still able to walk on water, if that's worn off, but you know,
no,
there's basically
still be up.
A magical sigil on the ground. If you step on it, you and the water above the sigil, because the sigil was built before this place was flooded, are transported into
Pony
cells.
Pony will prance around them now. Now that he all knows right. that they're there, I'm sure he can yes. suss them out.
All right. I think 60 feet is most of this room. So this room is a little strange. This you follow the passageway to the east, past the dungeons, and the hallway opens into a much a considerably sized square room with a large kind of vaulted ceiling. This room is also flooded with water, and in fact, it seems like the water is possibly deeper than the hallway here. There's like kind of some steps down from the hallway into this room. So there's water of indeterminate depth all over this thing. There's some kind of strange shapes poking out of the brackish water. They might be some kind of furniture. It's hard to see because it's so dark in there and they're all half submerged. The overwhelming aesthetic of this room is rather gloomy. The ceiling, which is about 15 feet up, is festooned, is the word the description uses.
I love that word.
Festooned with hanging chains that look like thick black web strands. So there's all these chains dangling from the ceiling. The kind of noteworthy landmark in this room is on the north wall, about 10 feet up, there is a balcony. And actually, I guess you might even be able to see further than that. There are two kind of ornate chairs seated on the balcony overlooking this room, and behind them, a red velvet curtain.
It's not a weird thing to have in your basement at all.
This looks like a torture parlor.
Strahd's a weird guy.
Does Androdite signal that she senses anything?
Give me a perception check, Androdite.
Okay. Plus 7 to my d20. That is a not natural 20.
Androdite senses something moving in the water. It's Androdite's having trouble figuring out quite where or what it is, but there's something in this room.
Okay, I'm gonna let everybody know that, you know, I know we all know her signals pretty well. She's a family dog, but
mm-hmm.
There's something here.
So is that a wall behind the, like, back there, or does
there's
the
a drawn curtain?
Okay,
so there's a curtain that's blocking the view. You see the curtain now?
So there might be a wall behind it, but we don't know.
You don't know.
So if there's
probably there is not any, probably I think you could conclude not in that there's no obvious there's this raised balcony with chairs on it. And there's no stairs or ladder leading up to there. So it seems like probably you approach these from behind the curtain.
Got it.
So mainly
how high is the water? Can we swim up?
Do you want to find out? You don't know how high the water is yet.
So how far up is the balcony?
Yeah, like
the
from
balcony
the water.
Is 7 feet above the water.
Okay, so it's not like we can just swim up climb. Like a pool and just
yeah. And you know, it would be real if this
the
was
only
your
person swimming
room with a fancy
is
room.
Pony and. Broldish.
Yeah, most of you.
Everybody else is walking on top of the water.
Most of you are walking on the water,
but
right?
There is something in here, so we probably want to establish what that is before we go any further.
Well, those of you who are walking on the water could, well, I suppose it could come up above the water and attack you.
Yeah.
Is it possible? Could Danu scout?
I could send in Danu. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or do we have anything that allows us to sense, like, things?
I could sense for my divine sense is undead, celestial, and fiends, which is kind of limited, and I can only do it 3 times a day. So I was thinking I should maybe save it for something later.
Danu has advantage on all stealth checks while underwater, so okay. I feel comfortable seeing.
And it's murky water.
Danu mm-hmm. in for a little. Basically, Danu will go in, Tony, and mm-hmm. do kind of a full circle, unless she runs into something in particular, in which case she will like dart
Danu
back.
Doing stealth to avoid.
Yes, so let
murdered.
Me roll for that.
All right. Danu darts out into the murky water. I will tell you, Elevor, Danu determines that the water is about 3 feet deep. There is a variety of objects in the water. And I don't know if Danu is... I don't totally... does Danu communicate with you psychically or mentally or something like that?
Yeah, Danu can communicate with me, not anyone okay. else.
I don't know if Danu... describes knows what these things are or describes them to you, and Elevor figures it out. But one way or the other, Elevor knows that there's a variety of basically torture implements throughout the water, and some of them are kind of sticking up in ways that's hard to identify them. But there's like racks, iron maidens, stocks, other instruments of torture. But there are also a variety of undead creatures lurking in the water, seemingly to wait. Some of them maybe are aware of Danube as Danube gets close, but are not quick enough to injure or inconvenience Danube. And so I'm going to reveal these all to you, because Danube knows about them. But these there are probably a good dozen undead shambly zombies lurking underneath the water of this chamber.
I could try to turn them.
We could also... So, if this room we don't see any entrances or exits, except for a balcony on the second floor, it seems that we've cleared this part of the basement, at least. We might want to double back, go up a floor, and there's the kitchen, and there's also a balcony, so we might be able to figure out what's going on in this room, if there's anything else from the place where the big man sits, as opposed to where his zombies are. So I would actually feel completely fine not engaging in this combat.
Same.
Undead, my favorite enemy is the undead, and I do have advantage on survival checks to track them. So, I mean, I'm sure I can probably do that just as well from, probably better from the balcony, but that's just something to keep in mind.
I mean, if I don't know what these, what the level of the or challenge rating of these zombies are, but I can't, I mean, there's a decent chance that if they're like turning them would destroy them. So,
but there also might be other things that it would be more important to turn later today.
I can do it more than once.
I'll just tell you, I think you know, Crucible's been around, these zombies are usually challenge rating one.
Yeah, I think they would be destroyed if they failed.
Of course, the last time we tried that, it didn't work on
anything. That happens again. Yeah.
They are submerged. I mean, there are definitely, you could just go back. You could fight your way through. If you know, it probably would occur to any of you that like that platform is 10 feet up, or I guess it's 10 feet up
from the water.
7 feet from the water, water 3 feet deep, 10 feet up. Probably all of you, well, I don't know about Pony, can get up there pretty easily, whereas a zombie is not going to be able to follow you right. up onto a 10-foot
And we also don't also. Know, yes, we can work our way around and get to there, but we don't know how many other things we'd have to get through.
Yeah, I will tell you
but
at some
I
point,
also,
you're going
to
have to cross through
I don't think
room.
We see anything in here that is, like,
worth there, fighting for.
It is full of filthy, rusty, waterlogged, torture equipment.
That said, if we can get up to the balcony and get through the curtains behind it, it may lead us into the floor above without having to go up the stairs through a bunch of stuff to get to that point. So we would get to deeper into that level potentially. It's an alternate way to go. We don't have to go one or the other. But like,
you have convinced me, Crucible.
Although as the one person who's not walking on water, it's going to be tough for Brildish and Pony to get up there. Like even Brildish, I don't think can get up there.
We can. I mean, once any of us are up there,
we have rope.
We let a rope down.
That's true. If we killed the zombies, I thought like you know we can't just rush through.
I was gonna assume that we try to turn the zombie between Crucible and Imra. It seems like I don't think the zombies would necessarily be the biggest challenge that we're likely to face.
Did you have to say that, though?
Yeah, I mean, what if they're full of snakes?
I didn't
again?
Say it was going to be easy. I just said it's not the most challenging. But it's fine. We can go either way here.
Yeah, I think Lena's preference would be to not engage with them necessarily. But I do see the wisdom of going in. Sort of
Brildish wants to kill them all. Erica does not.
I think the curtain is intriguing and there might be something important back there.
So like right. do we want to do a dog and pony vote?
Oh, I like it.
Does our dog
hold on.
Vote?
Who gets votes?
Only player characters.
Not the dog or the pony.
Only player characters.
Okay.
And yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not taking a poll of a bunch of animals. Yeah. Raise your paw if you want to go.
Aragol also wants to bounce.
Talking swords. So
Lena
fine.
Is
I'll just
no.
Add, I'll ask them all my possessions. It's fine.
Brildish wants to kill some zombies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Crucible's going to be in favor of. He's. They are not afraid of zombies. They are going to stride in and go for it.
Yeah, I think Imra wants to go mm-hmm. through, too.
Okay.
Okay, then it's just the... Elevor and...
Elevor and Lena. Lena. The outvoted voices of reason.
But we agree, so we do it.
I will just, in being your Dungeon Master friend, not just your dungeon master friend, I will suggest that though I put a dozen zombies in this room, and you don't necessarily know how these zombies work yet, zombies, when you get to pick the field of battle, are going to be at a disadvantage. For example, you know how this passageway full of traps works, for example, and if you need to back up and have zombies wander down this hallway, zombies that get teleported into cells are not going to be a big threat to you.
So what I'm hearing is that these zombies aren't full of snakes, like the last zombies, monster.
Would I do that to you? Twice?
All right. If nobody has any objections, Crucible is going to go in and attempt this. So Crucible is going to stride in, still walking on water, get to here, raise their holy symbol.
I feel like people who have a holy symbol and are walking on water should have an advantage
Instant
to roll
advantage,
on dead. Yeah.
So first off, Crucible, as you move in, the zombies do rise up. I have art of this. There's not a lot of art in this adventure, so hold on.
Exciting.
It looks like this. And in the
I'm assuming they're not handsome.
In the published adventures, this
I will
is like
be
a full,
really surprised.
Oh, man, these are full dreamy zombies.
A full page
Oh, my
print.
God, no.
Yeah, they're extra. I will tell you specifically, Crucible, you notice that as you move in, there is something not quite right with these zombies. They look different, perhaps. Haunted, their arms are all slimy and gray from being submerged in water, and there is something about the presence of these zombies that is unsettling. The adventure calls these Strahd zombies, and they have a different set of stats from your normal zombie.
Interesting.
They are not great, but I don't think that matters if you destroy them all with radiant powers.
Which is what I'm going to attempt to do.
They are challenge rating 1. There's 12 of them. You may incinerate them all now, if potentially.
I will present my holy symbol and utter a prayer centering the undead.
All right, what happens to zombies?
Each undead within 30 feet, which when I'm standing there is, I believe, every zombie in the room must make a wisdom saving throw.
All right. I am going to use roll 20 to roll 20 or 12 d20s. I will tell you, Dan.
You could also roll 20 d12s.
Also I could, but that wouldn't help me in this situation.
No, it wouldn't.
Dan, what do I need to
132 hit? Will succeed.
No, Dan, what wisdom save do
DC
I need?
DC is 16. What's a zombie's wisdom bonus?
-2.
-2, love it. So two succeed by my count.
Two?
One.
One rolled a 20 and rolled an 18, and that one gets to a 16, which ties with succeeds. Okay.
All right.
But if they are challenge rating 1, because I am level 8, anything challenge rating 1 or below is basically instantly incinerated.
We're 9.
Even the two that succeeded?
I, as long as I'm level 8 or above.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Oh, no, only the ones that failed their save.
All right, what happens to the ones that succeed?
They're turned for 1 minute. Or sorry, and no, they are fine. Sorry. The ones that still succeeded are not, nothing happens to them. So all are dead except for two.
Maybe they're a little unsettled. That's what I think.
I don't think zombies have feelings. I don't think unsettling is a
zombies,
thing they know.
They're Strahd zombies.
They're Strahd zombies.
Strahd
yeah.
zombie. I'm rolling initiative for the Strahd zombies. So, okay.
Should we roll initiative?
Quick. Yeah, I think it's. I think the higher you roll, the more likely you are going to get a turn.
Because we're recording this in October, I'm going to use my candy corn dice. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I rolled a 15 for the Strahd zombies. This is not going to be. I mean, this is. It's not going to take. It's mainly a question of do they hit any of you before, and maybe how about. You know, how about you decide who's going to rush into the room and deal with zombies?
Not Brildish. Well, Brildish is going to. In. Dang it.
Well,
okay,
I mainly is like,
character.
Mainly do all of your NPCs rush in. It's you know, there's 10 of you people.
Well, I feel like we should offer it to our ranger first since undead are her favored enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true.
And, they are her favorite.
At a range, too.
And a range, yeah. Yep.
Do you want to, like to...
Let me.
I mean, you can't keep Brildish from the fight, even if you try. So,
I mean, unless we kill.
She
all
probably
the
is. Yeah,
Brildish
she's probably not going
to
make it in time, but she will be heading in.
Does a 26 hit the zombie in front of the stage?
Yes.
Yeah,
and okay. And several other zombies in other rooms.
Okay. The ricochet arrow.
Yeah, this is. I will. Okay, the armor class of a zombie is below 10. This is going to be fast.
okay, that's 9. 9 points of damage.
Come on. It's so much fun to wipe the floor with the low levels.
Yeah. All right. So here I will tell you, not Aline. Well, you are Aline, but right now you're Imra.
I'm also Imra, yeah.
Imra, that's piercing damage, right?
Correct.
Okay. I will just tell everybody to help me remember. When these zombies take bludgeoning or slashing damage, something happens.
Ugh. Splat.
All right, so I did 9 piercing damage to this one. Do you see the number? It's Strahd Zombie 11.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to fire another arrow at it. Ooh, but still, 12
hits.
Is more than a single digit.
Yep.
And that's 10 damage.
All right, and that's still a piercing arrow. This wasn't a boxing glove arrow.
It was not. This is not a Looney Tunes cartoon.
All right, that zombie looks like it's on its last legs.
Okay.
Anyone else roll initiative that's going before a zombie?
I have a 21.
I'm before. But I...
Lena, go for it, then Elevar.
I can get up here and then unsheath my sun sword.
Yep.
That hits. That is 6 radiant damage.
6 slashing radiant damage, right?
Is it slashing radiant?
I think it's a sword, right?
But when it becomes radiant damage, doesn't it cease to be slashing?
Damage type radiant.
Okay, then
it's a lightsaber.
Lightsabers don't slash? I don't know. All right, that zombie is not doing well.
And then with my offhand, I'm going to attack with my other
magic sword,
although that might be slashing damage, but
it, you don't know
Lena
what happens.
Doesn't
it
know
could
that.
Be good.
Lena doesn't know that good. Is the thing. So,
yep.
Fortunately, that's an 11. So it does hit.
11 hits. 11 hits.
10 piercing damage.
Piercing?
Sorry, slashing damage.
Well, 10's, ten's enough to kill it. So we don't get to find out what happens. Elevor.
Elevor is just going to ready his turn. If the zombies make it out into the hall, then he will shout, or he will primal. I can't remember what the attack is. So yeah, he's not doing anything right now.
This last remaining Strahd zombie shambles over to Crucible and attacks
fast.
Crucible.
These are like speed zombies.
It's not that big a room. It moved 20 feet. So,
are these squares not 5 feet?
I counted it.
Oh, diagonals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Diagonals.
All right. Crucible, one of the things that makes a Strahd zombie a Strahd zombie is that it has multi-attack. Hmm. I think its chances of hitting you are low. Bite attack.
What's its, what's its bonus to attack?
Plus three. Claw attack.
It's going to have to roll a 19.
I got a 20. And yep. Claw attack, 16. So one hit.
Take it has to roll a 19 on the die. My armor class is 22.
The zombie bites and snaps and claws pathetically.
Made of metal.
It's your turn, Crucible. And then Broldish, I think.
Oh,
and then
back that's great. Well, this
just bop it on the head.
I guess I could just bop it on the head. It's either that or just do a sacred flame. But we know these guys' armor class is super low, right? So
yep,
I'll just hit it. That's a 15. That's 4 piercing damage, and I'll throw my blessed strike on that. I can also deal a d8 of radiant damage. Just in case he cares about such things. That's 4 piercing damage and 2 radiant damage. Boy, I have rolled so many ones in the last several sessions.
Yeah, that is not great. All right, Broldish, I think you're in the hallway ready for battle.
Yeah, Pony and I are going to swim on in.
Yeah.
And I will...
There's only 3 feet of water.
Yeah. And I will try to whack at it from... atop Pony. Pony is not going to try to attack. Mm-hmm. I hit. I rolled a 3, but still, that's enough to hit. And this, unfortunately, guys, is slashing damage.
All right, let's find out what happens.
Yep.
Glad I'm standing next to...
How much slashing damage is it?
It is 8 slashing damage, non-magical.
All right. When you do 8 slashing damage, or specifically more than 5 bludgeoning or slashing damage, Erica, would you mind rolling a d20 for me?
I wouldn't mind rolling a d20 for you.
Would you then tell me the results of it?
Just a straight d20 roll.
Yep, straight d20 roll.
13.
13.
Lucky 13.
Lucky 13. You sever the left arm from the zombie. It falls and splashes in the water and continues to move around trying to claw at your and Crucible's feet.
Okay.
This is unsettling.
I'm going to take my second attack at the
bulk of
the zombie.
I was going to say, you now have 2 valid targets, the zombie proper and the zombie's left arm on the ground.
Honestly, Brilish is slightly excited by this and is now trying to cut off the other arm because she thinks it's kind of cool.
All right.
Yep. Hit and do... Oh, that is only 5 points of slashing damage to the...
roll a d20.
Exciting! That's a 14.
All right, you slice off the other arm.
Yes!
The zombie is there. It's still capable of biting, and both of the arms are in the water trying to claw at your Crucible's feet.
Tis but a flesh wound.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. So that was fun. Thank you.
I don't think this zombie is going to get another turn.
Now that there are like just arms, Pony is going to try to stamp on one of those arms.
Pony will stamp
on Pony
an
wasn't going to try to attack, but now this is different. So
now it's for now.
The
it's
game
personal.
Has changed.
Yes. Hooves. That's a 19 to attack with.
That'll
hooves.
Hit an arm.
Hooves. And yeah. So. Oh, it's 2d4. Good job, Pony. So 3 plus 2 is 5 bludgeoning damage.
All right. To the arm. Pony stomps an arm and it stops moving.
Yeah, that's the first time Pony has been like really successful at attacking.
Pony levels up.
Like
pretty stoked.
All right. All set, Broldish? Mm-hmm. Imra, there is one single of your favored enemies remaining, and it does not look like it's doing great.
So the question is, will the arms continue to wriggle if the main body dies?
Honestly, not scared of some arms.
If Pony can take it out.
Yeah, I would focus on the zombie, and we can pick the arms up and take them with us.
All right,
why do I go on vacations with you?
It is literally impossible for me to hit the zombie with the longbow because my bonus is plus 10. So I'm just going to roll damage.
Impossible not to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, good.
All right.
Why are you doing it?
You're level 9. You should be able to hit a zombie.
9 points of damage.
All right. That is enough to slay the zombie. I think you get to decide where you hit it.
I think right through the eye. Like,
all right.
Now there's an eye crawling around.
Son of a...
The neck snaps back and kind of like something breaks in it and the zombie collapses to the ground. The one hand that had not been trampled by a pony stops moving. I will post the rules for how these things work in the chat for your amusement. Loathsome limbs, whenever the zombie takes at least 5 bludgeoning or slashing damage, roll a d20 and determine what happens. 1 through 8, a leg is severed. 9 through 16, arms are severed. 17 to 20, the zombie is decapitated. There's complicated rules for how separate legs, arms, and heads work. So, for example, the head can still bite people. It can't move. The zombie without legs can't move. The arms can still attack, but they do so with disadvantage. Mainly, in retrospect, I appreciate how this fight had went because I was imagining having 12 zombies and then having to manage all of their limbs and be like, I will do this for these people,
Tony,
my friends, but I don't like it.
Tony, you're welcome.
So, you are now, the torture chamber, it seems, clear of undead. These two zombies fall and join their already incinerated zombie co-workers.
If we had decapitated one of those zombies, we would totally be carrying around a zombie head on a stick, just like in Sluggy Freelance. Just saying.
Having watched a lot of The Walking Dead, I just think that it's like, that's an accident waiting to happen.
It was in Sluggy Freelance as well.
Oh, okay. Wow, Sluggy Freelance. That's a old school webcomic poll there. So here's the question. You are in 3 feet of water. The platform with the two fancy chairs is 7 feet up. You know, we don't need to spend too long, but you need to give me a convincing. How do you get a pony up up there?
Rope.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can hoist a pony.
So you've got time. You're not in combat. It's not the most elegant thing, but you make it happen.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, I think Broldish, you could just use a spell slot, right?
Yeah. Dismiss. Resummon.
One of my only 3 second level spell slots, though, so I probably don't.
Yeah.
Do that.
No.
We can lift a pony between like the 10 of us.
Even the octopus
has got its little tentacles like around a rope.
This is why we have a pony and not a horse. Yes. All right. So I will tell you, you do some work and you get up onto the stage. You know, this is, you now have the view here. And I think this is really where you get the sense that like Strahd von Zarovich is not your normal person. You know, you've been in a variety of castle basements, and sure, you know, traps in a castle, okay, dungeon in the basement, okay, fancy thrones overlooking the torture chamber that is then full of zombies.
Yeah. That's the line.
What's weird to me, though, the only thing that's weird to me, or the only thing that's weird to me about this whole setup is that there are 2 chairs. Who sits in the other chair?
Maybe sometimes Strahd likes it on the left. Sometimes Strahd likes it on the right. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe right. the bride that he never
spice
had.
Life.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's
just looking
chairs.
For someone to share the joys of life with.
He, you know,
posted the picture of 2 chairs on his dating app. Like, just waiting for someone to join me.
I think Vasilika just looks at that second chair nervously.
Are there names on them or anything? Never.
No.
All right.
One of them is clearly slightly more ornate, and someone has satin in it, while the other one is like mint.
Crucible would like to stride forward and see if they can draw the curtain.
Why are we not perceiving?
Curtains, the bags of the wall.
We're going to be in this castle forever.
It's okay. It's a very big castle. You don't have to fret about every door because it's a very big castle.
But you worry about
all
the doors.
But
that's
probably
the thing.
I'm like, sorry,
you
don't the curtain to the torture room
do.
Feels like
I'm,
it might ring.
I'm your friend.
A little perceiving.
I just think we have to operate with a level of trust where probably I would say, do you really want to do that, Dan? And then Dan is now stuck in a conundrum. Is he a confident person who doubles down on the thing he said? Or does he take the hint from Tony that this is where he dies?
I just, you know what? Dan, Crucible just killed 8 zombies and feels great.
That's true. Dan, that's true.
Do you really want to push that curtain back?
Yeah, do it.
All right. Behind the curtain is 10 feet of empty space and then a wall. And on that wall, a door.
Crucible looks over at Lena and just goes, phew. Crucible's getting a little sassy. Great. To the door. Does anybody want to check out this door?
Lena inspects the door.
Okay.
She would like to listen at the door.
All right. You listen at the door. Give me a quick perception check, Lena, and I'll
20.
Determine how much you see. 20. The door is, it's your standard interior wooden door. It is unlocked. It is quiet beyond. And in fact, with a 20, I will tell you, you hear the sound of kind of flames flickering as if there is, maybe a hearth or a fire in the next room. Not a controlled fire. But there's no sounds of talking or footsteps or any sounds of life.
Lena gives the detailed hand signals that she has insisted that everyone learn from weeks of traveling together. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is both moose ears and a bird.
Got it.
Clear as day. All right.
And a little bit sheepishly, she opens the door.
Okay. The room beyond is interesting. Allow me to read a description from The Curse of Strahd. The room is 30 feet square, rising to a 20-foot tall flat ceiling. I think you can just say ceiling, guys. We assume the ceiling is flat. A stone brazier burns fiercely in the center of the room, but its tall white flame produces no heat. That's really a thing they could figure out by touching it. The rim of the brazier is carved with a 7 cup-shaped indentations spaced evenly around the circumference. Within each indentation is a spherical stone twice the diameter of a human eyeball. Strange point of reference, and made of a colored crystal. No two stones are the same color. So you can see in the map, there's 7 little colored crystals placed around.
Hey guys, we found the Infinity Stones.
overhead, a wood-framed hourglass, as tall and as wide as a dwarf, hangs 10 feet above the brazier, suspended from the ceiling by thick iron chains.
Back up for 1 second, Jody.
Yeah, that's interesting point of reference.
As tall and as wide as a dwarf?
Like, that's what the description says.
Okay. Because I'm tall for a dwarf, so
a short Broldish.
Eyeballs, dwarves.
A Broldish with no shoes on.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got it.
Why don't they just say that it's like 4.5 feet tall and, similarly wide? There's a really big hourglass suspended from the ceiling by thick iron chains. All the sand is stuck in the upper portion of the hourglass, seemingly unable to run down into the bottom. Written in glowing script on the hourglass is something in common. Again, they always put the biggest, most obvious things in the room in the left part of the description. 2 9-foot-tall iron statues of knights on horseback, poised to charge with swords drawn, stand in deep alcoves facing each other. The brazier sits between them in the middle of the room.
What's written in common?
All right.
You'll speak common, right?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. It's common.
So Lena moves into the room,
no.
crosses Crucible leaves the safety of the doorway, moves into the room.
No one brought a telescope.
I don't have a spyglass. Dang. Yeah. Different character.
All right, Crucible will walk at least into the doorway and see how close do you need to get to read this thing.
Yeah, like how would they know it's common if they can't actually get close enough to read it?
Amazing laser robot eyes.
Laser robot. Yeah. That's offensive. All right, Crucible as he stands in the doorway at first, but he's squinting. He's trying to focus his lenses and takes a perhaps even without being aware of it, a few steps closer to read the inscription on this huge, immense hourglass. It's almost like they are drawn to the magic energy of it and the perhaps the enigma of the inscription on it. Written on the hourglass is an inscription that reads as follows: cast a stone into the fire. Violet leads to the mountain spire. Orange to the castle peak. Red, if lore is what you seek. Green, to where the coffins hide. Indigo, to the master's bride. Blue, to the ancient magic's womb. Yellow, to the master's tomb. What is the meaning of this inscription? What strange magics have the Dog and Pony Crew discovered here in the basement of Castle Ravenloft? Will they untangle the mystery of this magic, strange, burning fire and hourglass? Or will they fight about how to deal with zombies? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.
Find a portal?
Yeah.
I'm going to paste this into the
teleportation room.
It's such a ornate way to do teleportation. It's not just like, oh, I've got like a portal that I walk through and I go someplace. No. I've created gems and a brazier and an hourglass. You need to throw the right gem. Jesus, Strahd, give it a rest.
All right, so you basically figured out how this room works.
The instructions were very clear. Did he not remember them? Is that why he had to have them written down all the time?
Could be.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
It's a lot, I guess. I don't know. Strahd, you know, I don't know. Strahd's overplaying his hand.
He's a little extra.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.